Let's read a few scriptures that substantiate that. Unusual worship and what you're doing there opens supernatural atmosphere. There's another aspect of worship. Unusual worship is really breakthrough worship. It breaks through realms. I said breakthrough realms. There are certain realms that are set, but worshiping God breaks us through to His realm, where nothing is impossible. And life begins to change supernaturally. Things begin to change not by labor, not by work, not by committees, but just seem like an invisible help. An invisible hand does something in our life that we can't explain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And if we get in God's presence properly, like we have done this morning, it calls God to speak. Now, a minister who can't minister in this atmosphere need to turn his credentials in. But it calls God to speak in certain ways. I was called to my attention this morning by the Lord to give us an insight of, that was a fresh anointing in here. To give us an insight about worship that I think would change the playing field. Worship is one of our greatest weapons. We were warring just now. We were warring, but we wasn't warring in a battle. We were warring in a victory. See, we were celebrating something that has already transpired. Are you following me? And I want to show you these secrets because, and I pray that you get the CD or DVD from Wednesday night, because we taught a Trinity here Wednesday night. I would ask the members. You know, I'm just going to ask you. I'm going to stop pushing you. I would ask some members watching by internet now. I would ask you to be here because the only way I can help your life and your family is that you be here. That's all right. I can't make you come. Okay, but the revelation that I want to show you this morning that will enhance, advance, enlarge, increase, anoint your worship, and that you can get in the presence of God just like that. But there's secrets that I thank God had revealed to me apostolically about doctrines in the church and about how the church can get in her place quickly. And so I want to reveal one or two of these secrets to you this morning about breaking into a breakthrough atmosphere, how you can, that woman in the 15th chapter of Matthew couldn't get there by prayer. She had prayed, but finally she turned to worship, and she got in a breakthrough atmosphere, and Jesus gave her what she wanted, heal her daughter and set her free, you see. So as I talk to you this morning about this, I want you to be able to see this. May the Holy Spirit breathe on it, because it will your Christian life, your life, your walk with God, and your relationship with God, and your fellowship with God will become greater. Everything in your life become greater. One of the things, the way the Lord started addressing me about this, you turn to Psalm 103 and Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to show you something about worship that the Lord just showed me. But the Lord started talking to me about a sharpshooter. You know, somebody know how to pick you off. First of all, he's not just concerned about the target. And even though he have the right equipment, his gun or whatever he's gonna use, you know he got to have that fine tune so it can shoot properly, because you're talking about long distance. But he not only has to know where his target is, he has to know the direction of the wind. And he has to know the velocity of the wind, how hard the wind is blowing, because that if you're shooting a long distance, just a little off the mark, you'll miss your target. And I think that the Lord wants to show us how to be sharpshooter worshipers, how to hit his presence every time. Come on, somebody want some of that? How to get in God? Because when you get in God's presence, you know, when you get in his presence, his greatness, his glory, all that he is, all that he has, all that he can do become available to you. Are you listening to me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So if you're going to become a real worshiper, that's a negative scripture that I have to show you, where people honor the Lord with their lip, but their hearts are far from. That's negative. I mean, and people are trying to get through the bushes of worship. The bushes. There's a lot of bushes. You know, like bushes, like trees and around worship where you really can't see God. There's so much entertainment, so much performance, so much musicians and people, talented people, that after they get through, God gone. He's waiting for somebody to look to him. But all the people looking to them, and they are performing, and they're making sounds, and they're doing this and doing that, and God said, when are they going to turn to me? This morning, we saw what it means to turn to God. I could sense his presence. I could feel a flow. I could feel a flowing of the anointing. I could sense his presence. You know, we don't want to be like Jacob. Show to the Lord in his place. And we didn't even know it. I want to know he's here, because that's who I come to see. I ain't come to see you. I love you and everything. But I really want the Lord to be in his place, right? Amen. Come on, talk to me. I didn't come here for a duty. Just to pay my respect. You pay your respect to the dead by going to a funeral. We ain't coming to a funeral. This is a live house here. I come here to be a habitation of the Spirit. All right, you talking? All right, now, in Psalm 103, I'm going to show you where you can miss real worship and where I think the church needs to correct her doctrine on worship. Worship is not about people. It's about God. And the atmosphere, once we get that atmosphere broken, we break into that atmosphere where God is satisfied, and where we have pleased him, then he is able to manifest what we need, what we desire, and even extra blessing. God will come off to the, there's a place called a show-off point. It don't seem like it worked with God, but God always showing off. God is a complete show-off. Why he's a show-off? Because God got to adjust his blessing, because God, if God start just pouring blessing out on you, you couldn't stand it. So you got to contain himself. In Psalm 103, the first verse said, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me. That's what it says? Uh-huh. Now, if you understand that aspect of worship, see, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me, right? Huh? Yeah. See, you need to stay there long enough before you go to the next stanza, next verse. See, you need to stay there long enough. Bless the Lord, all my soul. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. See, to become a rightful worshiper, you need to stay at that verse before you go to the second or the third verse. You see, because you don't worship God to be blessed. You worship God because you are blessed. Amen. So when you blessing the Lord, recognizing that you are blessed, the blessings will follow. But what happened, the church been taught wrong. The church going for the blessing. And they're not really worshiping the blesser. And therefore, the blesser can't turn loose his blessing because nobody has blessed him. Now, you look at the second verse and see what happened. You see, there's another word now, changing pace goes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now we're going somewhere else now. We're going to the benefit segment. Go back to verse 1. But you see, in that segment of worship, it's all about him. That's worship. Worship is all about him. Not them. Not what I can receive. I'm just here, Lord, to salute you, sir. And you the chief commander. You see, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that within me, bless his holy name. You see, that's a stage of worship we must learn. We must learn there are times we're not asking for nothing. We're not trying to get none of our problems solved. We just got to concentrate on him. How many got that part now? See, those two verses, I've read those verses a thousand times. Now go to the next verse. See, the next verse dealing with benefits. See, worship him for what he can do for you. Or what he has done for you and all that stuff. That's good. But the first part is just him. And see, now, then the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, we're in the benefit category now, and, you know, we're shouting praises because, you know, God have done a lot of things for all of us. I can't hear you. You see, you can create this atmosphere in your home. You can create this atmosphere over your children. You can create this atmosphere in your place of business. You know, you don't get so business-orientated that you don't be about your father's business. I think every business owner need to walk in their place and lift their hand before they open the door and give God the glory. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm about to show you something else now. I'm about to show you something else. I received something. I'm about to show you something else. Look in Hebrews 11 and 6 now, who bespeak the same thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God, number one, must first of all, before we get to any rewards, before we get to any benefits, before we get to any blessing, before we ask for anything, before we remind him of anything we need, we must remind him that we know who he is. That is right there. Same thing. Yes, the same principle came not out of a concordance. It came straight from the Holy Ghost this morning. That's the same principle that you saw in Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2, is in Hebrews 11 and 6. How many got it? I mean, I don't know how many got it. See, you must, but without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is. Let's cut the rest of the voice off. He is. See, he is. And see, that's what worship has to do. Once you come into that grip, that with all that's within you, you blessing him for who he is. Then, and that he's a rewarder. And he hit it again on the end. He hit it again on the end. Of them that diligently seek the reward. Seek the reward. Seek the reward. No. Seek the blessing. What? No, seek who? See, that's worship. That's what worship is all about. And until we grow up to that understanding, it takes maturity for that. Because immaturity is looking for the blessing. Maturity is looking for the blesser. And the one who look for the blesser gonna have more blessing than the one who looking for the blessing. Because once the blesser find out that you're looking for him, he start releasing his blessing. How many with me on this? How many understand what I'm saying? How many can change your plan? There are times you need to go and say, God, I don't want nothing. That's impossible. That's impossible, but just tell him anyway. See. But I want, but you acknowledge to him, I want more of you. All right, now, Let me teach you this morning for a few moments about these atmosphere, breaking into this atmosphere. Let's go to the scripture, Matthew 15. I need to look at it for a negative point. They tell me that I know it for a fact, that if you're going to drive any kind of car, you got to have a negative and a positive pole. You can hook up to the positive pole all you want, the negative one. I'm not too mechanically inclined, but I know they both got to be hooked up. Now, some of these boys can stand them and tell you why and all that, but I can't tell you why, but I know they both need to be hooked up. Then in Matthew 15:8, we do not want this to happen to us. These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We don't want that to happen, right? And then notice what he said in the ninth verse. Read the ninth verse. Now, that scripture, that word teaching for doctrine or instruction from the commandment of men, well, as soon as I read that, I saw something. I saw worship has gotten into the hands of man and completely left God out. Just on the basis of honorable mentioning. You have to mention him, because if you don't mention him, all the people leave. So you mention him to make the people think that they're worshiping him, but they're actually worshiping you. Now, everybody's life up in here changes today. If I only can get you to hear me, if I only can get you to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying, you can look all over the Bible. You see, when he says, turn to Matthew 6, look at verse 33. You see, let's align. Alignment is so important for life to not tremble. You know, the car's not aligned, it just jump all over the road. I used to drive them old cars, man. And you couldn't go over 55, you know, and you got to get somewhere. You're in a hurry. You done told a girl you're going to pick her up, and you can't drive this thing no more than 55. So if she's not in there, so I go over 55, just jump all over the road, because I won't be on time, you know. And life, a lot of our lives are not balanced because we're trying to speed, but we don't have the right alignment. I think worship in the body of Christ is a top priority. I think you need to worship before you pray. I think you need to worship before you read your Bible. It's priority. It's coming into his presence. It is acknowledging him for who he really is. There he says in Matthew 6:33, I'm just trying to get this point across, seek ye first. Then over in Revelation, they say you left your first love. First. Get that word. God must be first. And so to learn how to break atmosphere, get in a supernatural atmosphere, or get in a breakthrough atmosphere. How many need a breakthrough? That's what I'm here to teach you and instruct you under the government of God, under the grace and government of God, under the anointing, that something can transpire in your life beyond your job, beyond your last name, beyond the texture of your skin. But something great from the inside in the dynamics of the supernatural world, which is the spirit world, where the Holy Ghost is in charge, where the finished work and the blood run. That you can get supernatural answers and live like a supernatural people instead of living regular. They don't have no respect for the church. Because I told you when Finney came to town, 10-mile radius, everybody got under conviction and cried. That was such an anointing that he carried on his line. And you don't have to advertise when you got it. So let's go back to this profound scripture in John 4 now, when Jesus teaches this sinner woman how to worship. God has saved. The first thing he started teaching is how to worship. I think we were not taught that. Got that woman saved. The first thing he started teaching her is how to worship, how to get in the presence of the Father. Because Jesus knew all that he was because he knew how to worship. Everything I have, everything I could do, all my abilities come from him. Somebody want to praise him? He made me. He know all about me. When something go wrong, he know. He's the head mechanic. I want to send for the head surgeon. He's the head surgeon. He know exactly what to do. He know how to adjust it just right. He know how to adjust my liver just right. He know how to bump my kidney just right. Because he made it. You really, here's what the Spirit of God, you really don't have a problem. Everything that is aggravating you is designed to turn you a little bit. Turn you from the system to the Spirit. That God can make an adjustment in your life that nobody else can make. But so often we rebel. We rebel because that I consumption take us over. I, what I want, what I gonna do. No, he's changing you for a reason. Every challenge that a believer has, it comes, Satan bring it, but the Lord, he can't bring them on so much. The Lord tells him, that's enough right there. And then the Lord wait for you to hear his signal. All right, come on, John 4. Y'all help me preach quick today. John 4. I want to preach like I make cattle and liver quiver. I tell you, boys, I still got it. Hallelujah. I ain't lying either. See, when I really start talking to her, them two dimples go in. I can go do it right now. Them dimples are sick. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I'm tired of preaching about that. I'm supposed to be in John 4. I'm in Luke 4. John chapter 4. Now let's see this. Let's look at this a minute. For, you know. It's not, and I say this, and I need to say something with it. Because it is important the place you worship.
Oh yeah.
So we're dealing with the place and the nature of worship. But just before I said it, I was about to make the comparison between the place and the nature. And then the Lord said, no, it is important. The place is important too. I don't think you could have gotten no more superlative worship than you got here this morning. Even though that was my younger son leading. But I'm not going to rob him just because he's my son. Because I know he don't have that ability that God did it. Are you following me? But the place of worship is important, and the people you worship with is important, because are they really worshiping? That's important, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, so but not only the place, because you can be in the right place with the pretensions of worship, But the nature of worship has to be right. And I think that girl was talking about the mountain and where our ancestors worship. But Jesus said, no, worship have changed. Worship is no longer accolades now. Worship is supernatural. Worship is in the realm of the spirit. So let's look at this a minute, these two verses, one or two verses here in John 4. She began to say in the 20th verse, our Father worshiped in this mountain, which is a place. And ye said that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now look at verse 21. Jesus said unto her, right?
Yes, sir.
Woman, believe me, the hour coming when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. See, the whole spectrum of worship has changed now. Mm-hmm. Worship is not just in the tabernacle or in the sanctuary, the place that has been assigned for you to come and come together. Now worship is where you are. Worship is in the realm of the spirit. Worship is at your house. Worship is in your yard. Worship is everywhere now because of who you are. And because you have become now a habitation of the spirit. So therefore, your spirit can reach his spirit at any moment in the back of a police car. You still can worship him. And yes. And I'll show you in a few minutes. I'll show you how worship can open a supernatural atmosphere anywhere, in any situation, anytime, anything you're going through. Worship can open a supernatural atmosphere, and when that supernatural atmosphere is open, God do something out of the ordinary. You have the ability to call on God that God will do something out of the ordinary for you on the spot, and nobody can stop it. Everything you dealing with, you listen to me, is a supernatural trigger. You heard me? You understand what I'm saying? Because you are a child of God, everything you dealing with has a supernatural trigger on it. And the Holy Ghost saying, pull it, pull it, pull it, pull a trigger, pull a trigger, pull a trigger. That trigger might be just one hand raising. Lord, I trust you with all my heart, and I lean not to my own understanding. Bam! The answer comes. In verse 22, come on. Ye worship not what we know. Ye worship not what we know what we worship for the salvation of Jew, but the hour coming now is when the true worshipers. Now, everybody say true worshipers. Now, why would he have to say that? I ask you over here, why did he have to? Why Jesus talking about true worship? What is he talking about? I thought all worshipers was worshipers. All right, so now, all right now. I want all of you all to become true worshipers. If I can get you to see and understand the revelation and become illuminated in your spirit what true worship really is, your defeat days are over. I didn't say your attack days are over. When the true worshiper shall worship the Father, how? In spirit and in truth. Now notice this now. Wonder why it is. How many of y'all know God wants to bless you all the time? For without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That word seek got me. He says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Yeah, you see it? That diligently seek him. The Father, see, the Father talking about this seeking thing, this seeking business here. The Father said, I want some seekers. seek me. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What did Matthew 6:33 say? That is again. So I believe that true worshipers are seekers. But they're not seeking multiple choice wise. They got a single seeking they're doing. I think we've let too many sideline things come in. You got so much teaching, so much doctrine going around, but we cannot leave out this seeking business. Because if you seek him properly, you can't go wrong. He's going to check you when you seek him, and he's going to clarify some things for you. I wish I had a praying church here. Y'all would let me teach out of my spirit this morning. See, he's looking for seekers. Seek, but the seekers, he don't want people who seeking things. And the church had become a thing seeker. At large, I'm talking about. Not nobody up in here. Not nobody on Ruko, you know. They're at another service somewhere else. But the church at large had become seekers of what he can do for them instead of seeking him. And once you seek him, all these things will be added. If you're willing, you eat the good of the land. How many getting this? All right, so this worship business, I gotta get a little further there. When the true worshiper shall worship him, the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh.
Yes, sir.
Now, why he got to seek now? Why won't he just, all the church, just because all my children seek me? No, he got to find people in the congregation who are going to worship him. And then he give us the nature of worship. In verse 24, God is a spirit. And they that worship him, and yeah, he said this twice now. Worship him how?
Spirit and truth.
So for a person to genuinely worship God, they have to be instructed in the truth. You don't just hold your hand up and say hallelujah. You got to know what you're hallelujahing about. And then you want to magnify Jesus. You want to glorify God. And you want the church to be edified. In other words, you want your sister or brother sitting next to you, you want them to be built up. You're not only concerned about your blessing, but that person sitting next to you, you want them to get blessed. You don't know what they're going through. Anybody up in here? Now, here's another scripture I want to show you. Turn to Philippians. Anybody getting anything? We mean business in Darrow today. Darrow won't talk here today. You want you to know you've been to Darrow, Louisiana, down the bayou, next to the mighty Mississippi. Say, man, I went down to that church, man, they're way down here. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision, which, now watch this, which worship God in the spirit. That's what he asked for, didn't he? We just read the scripture, that's what he asked for. He said he wants you to worship in spirit and truth, right? But worship God in the spirit. Now, now one say, well, where the truth at? What the next statement? And rejoice in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. He's the truth, you know. John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. Jesus is the truth. Say it.
Jesus is the truth.
All right. Worship God. Worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Watch this now. Watch this. 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 And have no confidence. So my feeling does not determine my worship. I know, oh man, sleeping. Y'all stand up. God, dog, he gone to sleep. Stand up. He gone, boy. Y'all stand up. My God, dog, the man went to sleep, man. I know he's trying. He fighting, no boy. Have no confidence in the flesh. Now, we're talking about worship, real worship, true worship. Unusual worship can break through. It's breakthrough worship, and it can bring you and the situation into a divine atmosphere. Oh my man! It crucify worry. It annihilate fear, because in His presence fear fade away. Worry, when in His presence, your mind becomes sound. He said, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, trusting the Lord Jehovah." What in him? In him is everlasting strength. Sit down now. Slap the person next to you that go to sleep. Say, "Man, you got to stand up, man." Punch him. Say, "Wait, man, wake up." It was a man going to sleep. It wasn't a woman. It was a man. Gone, that guy was going to sleep, boy. Come on, man. A few more minutes, he'd been snoring. All right. You ready for a shout?
Yeah.
Now, if you're not gonna shout, just don't go along with us, because I'm about to show you that you can be in a condition, seem like you're not gonna make it. But God placed you there for a reason. And here's what God said to you. Now, I hope you hear this. Turn to Acts 16. And I want you to hear me. I want you to turn, but I want you to hear what I'm saying, because He just gave it to me. God said, "We're about to turn it up to another notch." How many of y'all ready to turn it up to another notch? I know life is good, but God said, "Let's turn it up to another notch." Can He do it? Can God turn your life up to another notch? Absolutely can do it. Absolutely can do it. How many of y'all ready to go to another notch? How many of y'all ready for God to turn it up some? What I'm about to show you is not, you can't get this from the candy store. All right? And you're going to have to, oh my goodness, I feel the Holy Ghost. You have to realize that the Holy Spirit is ready to breathe on whatever is causing havoc in your life. He's about to show you how to deal with the mysteries in your life that you can't explain. You ready for this? You ready for your life to be turned up to another notch? And then I hear on the background that statement, an untouchable notch. In other words, God, hide me. There's a place God can hide you when things not going right that the enemy can't find you. Clap somebody a high five. Tell them, "I'm glad I came to church today." Man, I'm glad I came to church. Man, I'm glad I came to church. Ooh, Jesus. All right, sit down. Let's grab this right quick. Let's grab this right quick. Ooh, Jesus. How bad bad is your condition? How your money stand this morning? How your body acting? How your family acting? Is your wife treating you right? What we need to do? What can we do for you this morning? How can we set you up that you leave here and say, God damn it, I got it made. I got it. Woo! How can we help you this morning? I'm about to show you something about worship. Worship have no respect of person, has no respect of your condition. Worship can pull you out of anything that is not blessing your life. Somebody said, ain't no time to be freezing them, you're not, Reverend. Come on with the thing, man. I heard the word freeze. Oh, don't freeze, you're not, Reverend. Stay loose. I want to hear this. God placed certain things in his word that the government of his church, which is the fivefold ministry gift, would have some speech to go down to pick up some insight to give to his people that they can win in every battle. I'm about to give you one this morning about worship. All right. Anybody ever seen any midnight in their life? The light's on, but you still can't see. Now watch this. 25, verse 25. I got to go back up there. 16:25, Acts 16:25. You don't want to miss it. We're still on our subject about worship, going into another atmosphere. And at midnight. Anybody know what midnight mean? If I'm not talking about the middle of the night. Midnight here, dark time, things not working out right. Seem like you about to lose it. The fuel look like it blow it out. Midnight. I've had some midnight.
Come on, Pastor.
If you've lived any time at all, everybody, have you ever had any midnight
in your
life?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Because, so, you know, midnight don't really mean night. I've had midnight at 12 o'clock in the day.
Come on, Pastor.
They just wasn't going right.
Yes, sir.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
But it's all right to have midnight if you know what to do when midnight comes.
Come on,
now. So here, up. Spirit of God says, if you're listening, you'll never have another midnight that you don't know what to do with. No midnight can remain in your life from this day forward. Midnight in your finances. Midnight in your health. Midnight, just midnight, midnight. Just telling you, you're not going to make it. You had this all the while, you're going to have it the rest of your life. No! Next Christmas is not going to be like last Christmas. Next Christmas is going to be 3 times better because you know how to deal with midnight. Y'all better hear me up in here. I'm preaching up in here. Y'all better hear me. Thus said the Lord. Maybe y'all listening. Good God. The Lord said it all the time, but maybe I need to say it. Thus said the Lord. Watch this now, watch this. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard him. Now what kind of mess? They lock up in jail, you know, they got them locked up, and then they're singing. Now you know, the attendant said, man, these guys, you're crazy. These guys singing. Who they singing to? It's midnight, they're locked up, we whooped them, and they're singing, and they're making some funny noise. They're making some funny noise. But I say to you that unusual, don't you think it's unusual to worship in a position like that? Don't you think it's unusual? Huh? But I told you unusual worship. opens supernatural atmosphere. Now look what happened. Now this is for your benefit. Look, watch. All right. And suddenly. There you go. There you go. And suddenly. There was a earthquake. A great earthquake. So that the foundations. Of the problem was shaken. I wish somebody let me preach up in here. You got a problem? You want to shake that problem foundation? You need to praise him then. Oh, oh, Jesus. And the foundations of the prison were shaken. Let's go back to the word suddenly. You see it? Because we're about to go to another word. Immediately. Not wait and pray. Already prayed. Prayed you. Immediately. What? And every, look. Foundation, all and everyone. The Holy Ghost, I want to let you know how you handle that. Foundations, plural. All, plural. Everyone. This means, watch who you hang with. If you're hanging with somebody who got an anointing and know how to praise God, when that breakthrough comes, guess who else going to get a breakthrough? I mean, maybe you're not strong enough to get your breakthrough now, but just watch who you hang with. Because if you're hanging with somebody getting some breakthrough, when that breakthrough comes, yours gonna come with them. Everybody wasn't worshiping God up in there. It said Paul and Silas were worshiping God. But because the other folks was where they were. I know some of them old boys said, who did this? They said, everyone. That's what I believe. That's why I believe you need to have a good church. That's why I believe you need to be connected with somebody. I just believe this now. Y'all can believe what y'all want. But I believe you need to be connected with somebody anointed. Because when they get a breakthrough, you get a breakthrough. But otherwise, let me say it like I need to say it. When my band's coming loose, your band's going to come loose. And I can tell you right now, I'm loosed. I'm going to say it. I know. I'm going to tell it. Everybody in this church has a right to be rich. If you hang around here long enough, rich will jump on you. Why? Because the atmosphere. All you got to do is pay attention. Now, let me give you a few minutes of what I was supposed to preach. Sit down a minute. But the Holy Ghost, you know, the Holy Ghost get involved. You know, I got 8 minutes. I gave you 7 pockets last week. How many of y'all was here? Where to put your hand in your heart. And when you put your hand in your heart in that pocket, whatever in your heart comes into your hand. Yes, sir. Oh, y'all ain't heard what I said. Yes, sir. Whatever in your heart begin to manifest in your hand. Come on. Whatever. See. You all been trying to multiply things in your hand. What's in your heart? See, when you jump off into the supernatural, it's what you got in your heart begin to multiply. What in your hand ain't going to be much. is what, see, that's why that bread multiplied in them disciples' hand, because it passed through Jesus' heart. Are you following me? Now, I'm going to give you some characteristic. I might be getting them on one or two, because I won't deal with it in a minute, but it's several of them. Characteristic of a true worshiper. Because I give you all that other stuff appetizers. That when I start teaching you these characteristics of true worshipers, it just don't jump on. You need to know somebody, see, because it's by revelation. Turn to Matthew 22 with me, and I'll give you the first characteristic of a true worshiper, and how we can get to the territory we're talking about. The first characteristic of a true worshiper, and this is so simple, but yet it's so complicated, and it's so concentrated with the power of God. You see, worship actually, in breaking it down, it deals with his worthiness, or it deals with his worth. See, you can't worship God if you don't know his worth. He's everything. Uh-huh. And when he become, now, he's everything, but a lot of time he's not everything to you. Now, I can testify here, but I'm thankful for the last 40 years he's been my everything. I'd been out all night. I'd been drinking. I'd been out all night. I came home that morning, and my brother invited me to go to church. Well, I told him, man, I ain't going to church. I'm going out again tonight. He said, man, come on, go. So I went and put a suit on. I went. That's 40 years ago. I met Jesus that morning. Right. Yeah. Haven't been back out there since, man. And from that day on, for 40 years, I've stuck with him every day. He's my everything. Now, my wife, my children, and everything else know their place, but he's first. Not ministry. Ministry don't come before my family. But God come before my family. So I ain't about to go take care of your family before I take care of my family. See, that'd be wrong in the eyesight of God. Doctor made the surgery. But he ain't going to take care of you before he take care of Leslie. He'd be out of order. I'm telling you right now, if you sick and Leslie sick, I know you got the doctor's thing that he got to do there. If you sick and Leslie sick, you better know you're going to get checked. I mean, that's the life. I mean, what Janie going to do about Alonzo? Shoot, I ain't expecting Janie to check me. If I failed and Alonzo failed, I know who's going to get checked first. Pastor, no, Pastor Alonzo. That's the right. Y'all better talk to me up here. See, we can't be playing no, you know, blind, seek and find. Yeah, we need to know reality here. Protocol, thank you. Rule of engagement. So this first mark, and I don't want to know, do you bear this mark? The first mark to a true worshiper is plainly and clearly they love God. And that does not come overnight. The love of God must continue. Romans 5:5. Yeah. See. And hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. This is not no natural, filial, human love. This is divine, supernatural love. And supernatural love don't look at nothing else. It just functions supernaturally. All right. Then in Matthew 22. Hallelujah. Are y'all understanding this? Yes. See, church is no good if you can't go home and apply. I ain't got no time to come visiting something. Life too short for that. They don't get nothing out of it. Just get a good emotional feeling. Then I get home and the devil swing at me and I don't know how to hit him back. Y'all better say amen up here. Wake up and stop sleeping. in Genesis, in Matthew 22 and 37. Then Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now you see, if you hear Wednesday night, that'll mean more to you. So I taught a secret. I taught a mystery here on last Wednesday. It was a mystery. It's a secret. And those people who were here, and I'm not doing this because I told the Lord, Lord, it's just your children. I'm not going to be arguing about coming to church and all this, but I just want to let you know you missed something.
Yes, sir.
And if any one of the persons who were here Wednesday night sitting beside you, they know more than you. They're better off than you. That's right. Nehemiah 8:10. Read that to me quickly. I got to close. I got 1 minute. Somebody get Psalm 33:1. Somebody get Psalm 98:4. Somebody. I got to close, but I'm going to give all four of these scriptures. You're going to get all four of these scriptures. Come on, I ain't closing until you get all four. Nehemiah 8:10 says what? Listen. Hold up. Now, this is what I want you to see. Read the whole scripture, just see this. For the joy of the Lord is your strength, or my strength. All right, turn to Psalm 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is right. Psalm 98:4 now, and I'll close. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All day, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing. Let's make a loud noise. Now, one of the things you cannot do, David's wife got upset with him. David had a raw robe on. He used to wear that silk stuff. David was decked out. But when David praise and worship was radical. I mean David, when David started praising God, that robe was flying one way and David went another way. Half naked and half clothed. I mean, and his wife couldn't handle it. His wife was like Job's wife. This is crazy. She couldn't handle it. The Lord blessed them. She got waiters serving her left and right. And the man was a praiser. David, that dancing boy before the Lord, just wild and radical. Didn't even look like a king, you know what I'm saying? Every now and then. You know, people talking about my personality. Man, we ain't talking about no personality. Every child of God ought to have some radical praise. I mean, just shout till your wig come off. You know what I'm saying? Just don't worry. I've seen women shout their wigs off and kept going. I saw a lady, yeah, shout her slip off. Singing. Her slip came off. She put it back up and kept praying it. How many was there? I saw it. How many? I got some witness here. I saw the time the Holy Ghost moved a man running so fast and he slide, and I said, save. I mean, you get drunk in the spirit. You don't care what the person next to you say. You get overwhelmed with what God has done for you and how you trust God. You want to praise him wildly. I mean, you're not worried about keep up your mannerism and all that. No, sometime you just got to turn loose and just give God some radical praise. Just say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Woo! Time you have to not care how you look to people, and you can't try to hold your dignity no more. I've been in meeting. I was in the basement in New York preaching. My wife was traveling with me then, preaching in New York, the glory of God came, and the people start falling out like pecan out of the tree, plunk, on the floor, knocked out. Just the whole congregation went on the floor. Now, I don't know what to do. All the people down. I mean down, Jan. I mean whoop, 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 just like that. You see, if we can get this atmosphere right. And some of this dignity will go astray. And the divine can take the place of the dignity. I hear a word called deliverance. Habits will be broken. Habits will be broken. Things that have been holding people back. People will be set free if we let the divine take the place of dignity. I heard a word. Deliverance will come. While Kennedy was running, he was running with a limp. But he ran out of dignity and got in the divine. And he just, that's what happened. That's how deliverance comes. I'm telling you, it's a time of praise and worship when suddenly, immediately, God will heal somebody. What? God will change your job status. Certainly. Immediately. God will change your husband's ugly way. Certainly. Immediately. God will change your wife's ugly way. You get a brand new wife, a brand new child. Oh, Jesus. Somebody ought to dance up in here. Woo! Woo! See, that's the wow! What? You're not gonna dance? You tell me you're not gonna dance up in here. Some, you tell me. Wow! Woo! Woo! You tell me you're not gonna dance? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hey! Woo! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody help me dance up in here. Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. When I think about his goodness and what all he has done for me, I just dance. Dance. Come on, dance, God. Dance. Wow! Woo! Woo! Hold up. How many of y'all? Where my trail at? Come here, boy. Ha, 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 ha. I'm trying to say a word. Ha, 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 ha. Wait, I'll get it out. Ha, 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 ha. I'll get it. Hold on. Ha, 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 ha. I'll get it. Wait, I want to say something to you. Ha, 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 ha. I'll get it. Wait a minute. How many of y'all need a breakthrough? Well, I know it's 5 after 12. Hallelujah. tell you what. I'm telling you what.